Hello and welcome to Small Batches with me, Adam Hawkins. I'm your guide to software delivery excellence. In each episode, I share a small batch of the theory and practices along the path. Topics include DevOps, Lean, continuous delivery, and conversations with industry leaders. Now, let's begin today's episode. A listener emailed me asking for advice on the path to software delivery excellence. He asked me, what are the essential technical skills for excelling in high-level company or project environments? I think this is a wonderful question because it demonstrates motivation to grow as a leader. So in this episode, I'll answer this listener's question. But first, it's a new month, so there's a new giveaway. This month, I'm giving away the latest book on IT Revolution Press, Flow Engineering by my friend Steve Pereira and Andrew Davis. The book officially launches later this month, though I was lucky enough to review an advanced copy. And I think there's great stuff in there, especially if you want to succeed in high-level company or project environments. Hopefully, I can get Andrew and Steve on the podcast later this month to come on and talk about their book. Anyways, same rules as always. Go to smallbatches.fm/108 for a link to enter the giveaway. Now, on to the listener's question. I'll focus on the high-level part of the question. This implies a level higher than that of a single team. The skills learned at the individual team level partially transfer to a high level. Here's what I mean. Consider the case of leading a small engineering team. Let's assume the prerequisites are met for continuous deployment. You, as the team leader, are well positioned to achieve fast flow, fast feedback, and fast learning. You're leading the team so you can build the shared mental model around batch sizes, WIP limits, competing priorities, unknown dependencies, pool-based work, and unplanned work. Basically, all the necessary parts for lean software delivery. A small team of 3 to 5 engineers can likely manage flow reliably with some WIP limits, about 1 or 2 depending on the size. People are able to pair, knowledge is shared. The situation may be challenging, but entirely manageable with the focus on Heijunka, or leveling the flow. Learning to find flow in this environment is necessary, but not sufficient to find flow at higher levels in the organization. Why? Because team structure and communication patterns change as you zoom out or move up the org. The inflection point is shifting from leading a team of engineers, likely individual contributors, to leading a team of teams. Crossing this inflection point requires adapting your mental model. You'll face distinctly different challenges at this level than at the team level, both on the social and technical ends of the socio-technical system. On the social side, there will be a larger variety of stakeholder domains. Each of these stakeholders and their domains bring their own mental model, assumptions, and aims. On the technical side, there will be far more competing priorities, conflicting priorities, team and technical boundary crossing, and of course, sliding windows of deliverables and other timelines. You'll be participating in the synthesis of business strategy and initiatives into tangible deliverables. Strategy is an entire topic on its own. I won't get into that now. There is much to say on that and how to do that well. I'll drop links in the show notes. So let's focus on that tangible deliverables part for now. Delivering on those requires a mental model for finding flow in a multi-project environment. This is why I said earlier that learning to find flow in a team is necessary but not sufficient to learning to find flow in a team of teams or multi-project environment. Luckily for you, there is a book written on this exact topic. That book is Goldratt's Rules of Flow. The book is written by Dr. Eliyahu Goldratt's daughter, Efrat. The aim is applying the principles of the goal to a multi-project environment. It's written as a fictional story and a surprisingly fun read. It tells the story of a struggling business overwhelmed by projects of questionable value. The main character overcomes this challenge by triaging the projects for business value, controlling work in progress, and changing their internal processes. Of course, there's more to it than that, so let me distill the book's key tips and mix in some of my own. Tip 1. Obviously, control work in progress across the teams and at the level above or before it actually hits the teams. Remember that you cannot see whip at all levels as you zoom out. In other words, the exec team sees less work in progress than the frontline teams do. It's queues all the way down. Tip 2. Build Jidoka into the processes by using full kits. The full kit is the checklist of everything you need to actually start. Here's an example. Say you're making a pizza. You'll check that you have what you need to make the dough, the sauce, the cheese, and whatever other toppings you want to add. You check that you have these before making the pizza because having to stop mid-pizza making would suck. It would be highly interruptive, plus require rework and context switching. The point is, only start if the conditions for completion are actually met. This acts as a work in progress control and also a percent complete accurate mechanism on the process. Tip 3. Create a synchronization cadence across working groups. This is straight out of Principles of Product Development Flow and Goldratt's Rules of Flow. Standing meetings with open agendas are the best way to achieve this. Participants are free to add topics to the agenda. If there are topics on the agenda, then there is pull to meet. Scheduling the meeting also avoids those pesky DMs and daily interruptions. Instead, let the questions and challenges accumulate as they often work themselves out naturally. If not, there's the meeting. Schedule the meeting at a faster cadence than the delivery. So if the team is working in 2-week sprints, keep the cadence at once a week. This allows the synchronization to capture changes in the work. Tip 4. Right-size the work at all levels. You will encounter work of varying size and shape. The aim is to refine the incoming ideas, initiatives, projects, etc. into consistent chunks that fit the level. Right-sizing does 2 things. First, it acts as a work-in-progress control. 2, it helps level the flow. Here's a quick example. Say you have 3 teams. Giving each team a project that takes 3 months at 100% focus will likely overload the team of teams. Identifying the size of the work helps match the true capacity of the team. Here's another aspect of this tip. Consider one of those 3-month projects. Then break it down into approximately weekly chunks. This unlocks the next tip. Tip 5. Create buffers around deadlines and deliverables. Here's a rule of thumb. Take 1/3 of the estimated time as a buffer. Unexpected things will come up. The buffer creates the space to deal with them. If the project starts to go off track, then you can use the buffer for that project or even consume the buffer from other projects with more left. See chapter 24 on buffer management of Goldratt's Rules of Flow for a deeper explanation of this tip. Adopting the buffer changes the approach to success. Instead of tracking the deadline, track the completion of the work relative to the remaining buffer. This creates a health indicator for the project or on aggregate if you group all the buffers for all of the projects in progress. This leads me to the next tip. Tip 6. Make the work visual. What gets visualized gets managed. Your Jira boards are necessary to the team, but likely not intelligible to external stakeholders. Allow me to explain with an example. You take your car to the mechanic for a major engine repair. You care about dropping the car off and when to pick it up. You likely do not care about the hundreds of steps the mechanics will take in between all of that. Move the car to the lift, disconnect the battery, drain the oil, remove the timing belt, disassemble the cylinder head, and on it goes. All that is the middle junk. That's the Jira board. The mechanics in the shop really do care about that because that's where they do the work. But you don't need this level of detail. Just call me when the car is done, okay, thanks. The point is the Jira boards are for the production side of delivery. Find ways to visualize the status at more zoomed out levels. This status will be lossy and that's okay. Not everyone needs deep details. Using buffers allows you to visualize the health on a project fever chart. The chart shows a red, yellow, green, or blue, yellow, black, depending on your style. Just take a step back from the implementation and visualize. Then, standardize visual management across the team of teams to create a ubiquitous visual language. Tip 7. Adapt your language to the audience. You may want to say work in progress, but perhaps people are better suited to understand multitasking. You may want to say batch size, but perhaps people are better suited to understand scope. Communication and people are the hard problem. Prepare yourself to meet different groups of people where they are to collaborate effectively. Be an open and curious collaborator. Remember the words of Fujio Cho. Go and see, ask why, show respect. Lastly, a bonus tip. Tip 8. Shift your information diet. Watch what senior management is watching. Read the books that senior management reads. Attend different conferences. Find new podcasts. Talk to new people. Shift your information diet towards where you want to go, not where you are now. All right, that's all for this batch. I need your support to keep this podcast viable. I've set up a Patreon to support this podcast and its cousin, the Software Kaizen Substack. Your support ensures I can continue producing small batches episodes just like this one and long-form written content on Software Kaizen. Go to smallbatches.fm/108 to a link to my Patreon, the free May giveaway, and a bunch of links to succeed in organizations. I hope to have you back again for the next episode. So until then, happy shipping.